You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news. Welcome to the USEA official podcast, and listeners, we are back with our first team talk show for 2023. This is one of my favourite series that we do across both the USEA podcast and, I have to say, the eventing podcast as well, because essentially we are taking you behind the scenes of US eventing. It is such an exciting time. We did so in the build-up to Petone, to the World Championships last year, when, of course, the team came away with a silver medal, and fingers crossed, the team are going to take us on their journey to Paris as well. I am very happy to welcome back to the show the newly appointed long-term chef de cuisine and eventing technical advisor, Bobby Castello. It is very good to have you back.
Good morning, Nicole.
It is lovely to speak to you because it is very early for you on the East Coast of the United States. And I don't think we've spoken actually properly since we kind of relived the Petone dream.
That is correct. I think, last fall was the last time we spoke.
Well, look, we're looking forward to getting to grips with everything that has been going on over the winter. And I'm also very, very happy to say that on the show, we've got her back, listeners. We said we would. She wasn't getting away that easily. Max Corcoran with a different hat on, because Max, you are also in the role of Elite Program Team Facilitator. So you might not be president anymore, but we've still got you.
Hi, Nicole. It's good to be back. Thank you so much for having me.
How is life treating you so far in 2023, Max?
I cannot complain so far. It's been pretty good. Pretty good.
Good. That is what we like to hear. Bobby, I want to start with you because, as I say, we last spoke post-Petone last year, and I think it was after that that you were officially appointed in the role long-term, because you were interim chef to keep in the build-up to Petone for some 7 months or so. But last November, the job became yours on a much longer-term basis. So first of all, I wanted to actually ask you, what was the bigger driver for you in kind of making that transition in terms of going from it being a job that you were doing short term last year with kind of a very end goal in Petone to actually making the step of going for the role moving forwards as well?
I think it was important to get through like a big team competition like that, just to kind of go through the whole process from the planning stages for the World Championships, through the training camps, through the competition, and post competition, and just see if that's something that I frankly wanted to do again. And it always helps when things go well, but it really wasn't until, and I was, I think people thought I was being kind of cheeky, but I really wanted to get through that competition and kind of sit with it for a little bit. And because it's a huge commitment, and I took some time and decided to actually go for it, and was successful, and I'm really glad I did. We've had a great winter so far, so all's good.
Definitely all good. I mean, how can I ask you, how has that changed kind of how you look at the role? Because obviously, going into last year, Petone was the end goal. How far ahead are you looking now as you build for the future?
Yeah. So when I did the interim job, it certainly wasn't easy. It was crazy hectic. And thank God I had Max and so many other people there helping me out. But you had the luxury of just concentrating on that one competition. And then I think people thought, a lot of people thought that I would just automatically get the job if I applied for it. But it was a very, very involved they didn't leave any stone unturned in the interview process, because it's a completely different job, kind of trying to map out, the next 2, 4, 6, whatever years. So you have to be thinking much more long term and keep all the balls in the air for the short term. So it's obviously different. But again, we have so much good support at the USEF that, it makes the job very doable.
It is such a big point, actually, because there are so many things to look at when you look at kind of Pan American Games this year, the Olympics in Paris next year. But of course, the countdown actually feels like it's really on for Olympics in LA in 2028, which actually, while it feels like it's a long way away, isn't. And the horses that you'd be looking at for LA 2028 are the young horses of today and those that are kind of making the early stages of their international career. So lots to look at and lots to kind of juggle across the different areas. Max, just give us an insight into what your role is within the team.
Well, right now, I don't feel like I'm doing quite enough. That's not very good at sitting still. I called Bobby this in December. I said, all right, Bobby, what do you need me to do? And he said, I need you to go outside and read a book because come the middle of the summer, it's going to be very busy and I need you rested. I said, okay. So right now, a lot of it is sort of, thinking forward, planning from way back now, trying to do more logistics. That's basically a little bit more my role, some of the logistics stuff. Sort of being, if the grooms need something, a little bit around to help do that. And start making sort of vague plans for Aachen, for the Pan American Games, for anything else, Kentucky, anything else that our crew might need leading up. So it's a bit broad at the moment, but it'll get busy and more specialized as these trips and everything sort of start getting pieced together.
Well, the season is here. The season is going, and that yes. Once we're on that train, it seems to gather speed quite quickly.
Exactly.
So I hope you finish the book because you might not have time fairly soon. Bobby, what's been the plan, or what's been happening behind the scenes over the winter in terms of the team and how everybody's been working? What has that looked like?
Right. So we developed the. Our elite and pre-elite list, they have roughly 10 athletes, between those two lists and about 12 or 13 horses between those two lists. Basically this time of year, just doing some long ridge planning, but also getting around to see all of the different athletes wherever they have training. This winter, Tammy is basing herself. She lives in California, and I believe that she's going to stay there right on through Kentucky, and so do all her preparation out there. So I actually got to go out and see her ride with Ian Stark with a few horses in January, kind of later in January, and that was great. I'd never been out to Temecula Galway Downs when it was so green because they've had so much rain out there. It was absolutely beautiful, and it was a fun couple of days to spend with her. And then I came back to the East Coast, and we had an Ian Stark clinic. Max, you have not been sitting around. You organized that whole thing. Thanks. I was like, you want something to do? Organize this clinic. So we had the majority of our riders are based in Florida in the wintertime. So we had a great two-day cross-country kind of real intensive clinic for cross-country training at Will Coleman's beautiful farm in Ocala. And we had a lot of the riders participating in that. And, on some rode their top horses, some rode their up-and-coming horses. So it was really just getting practice and Ian kind of knocking everybody around a little bit early in the season. It was perfect. And it was a lot of fun. And I think everybody had a good time and there was some good training going on. And then I went back down to watch some dressage with some of the riders. So my role, at this juncture is, just kind of assessing what's going on, trying to make any, positive or whatever constructive criticism in the riders' programs and their training and just being there to kind of support them. We had the Aachen Showcase where some of the riders, many of the riders, kind of use that as their warm up for the season. And then we had Carolina last week, which is the kickoff for any of the CCI shorts. So it's been busy and I'm going to go back out to Galway for that competition next week.
Lots been going on behind the scenes. I think you guys have been a little bit luckier with the weather than us over here.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of rain, listeners, and I think there's a few riders getting quite twitchy because a few of their prep runs haven't quite gone to plan at this stage of the season. But hey, that's what you get when you live in England. It rains a lot. In terms of the big goals on the horizon, Kentucky is fast approaching, and it feels like we are going to see one of the strongest home sides heading to Kentucky this year. Last year, we actually saw a good number of your sort of top combinations coming over here for badminton. But my understanding is that pretty much everybody is Kentucky bound. I have to ask, is this the year? I feel like this could be the year that we see a long-awaited US winner of Kentucky, Bobby.
Who's that? Who are you asking that question?
To be honest, you don't have to do anything apart from, I think you're smiling quite happily at home thinking, yeah, we're feeling in pretty good shape. How exciting is it for you guys to actually have all of your kind of big guns going head to head in one event? Does that give you a real insight into kind of where everybody is at with each other? It's always nice to see everybody go up against each other. Is that a fair assessment, Bobby?
Yeah, I think, you know, if I had my way, you know, we would do this more, and it, you know, hopefully it looks like it's just going to kind of happen this year to really have our riders competing head to head more often, you know, because it is such a big country. We don't and now they're actually, even in the wintertime, there are two kind of almost completely different circuits where the Florida guys, for the most part, kind of stay in Florida. And then there's more of the mid-Atlantic crowd. And so, to be able to have a competition where the majority of our top riders are competing head-to-head against each other, I love that. And, you know, we can't always orchestrate that very well because, you know, just, you know, almost too much choice sometimes. But to have the majority of our top guys staying in the U.S. and going to Kentucky, I think it's great. And then even a few of the ones that are holding back for, say, Lemulin, they'll most likely all be in the four short. So, I love head-to-head competition. I think the athletes really can kind of gauge where they are in terms of the rest of the folks that are out there. And yeah, I think we have, you know, I think we have as good a chance as we've ever had to come away with a win at Kentucky. But, you know, who knows? We'll have to wait and see.
See who gets on that pesky plane. See who comes in from Europe. But I have a feeling that there is going to be a seriously, seriously, seriously strong US chance this year. The Echo Ratings Prediction Center listeners, once the entries are released and they are public, the Prediction Center will be picking out those early favourites. So it'll be very interesting to see that. Max, Kentucky has been a pretty special place for you over the years. I think it's held a number of different kind of memories, and you've got lots of different roles that you've had there in the past. What will this year look like for you at Kentucky?
Well, it'll for sure look a little bit different. I'm usually in the barn grooming, so it'll be very different. This was, someone asked me how many times I've been to Kentucky, and I counted those. I've groomed there 19 times, so. It's a little bit, it'll be a bit different. I will hopefully be useful and try to, you know, help out where I can and make a difference, hopefully, and just sort of, you know, wear a different hat this time.
I'm sure you will absolutely be making that difference. On from Kentucky, what have we got coming up in terms of kind of key events that you're looking at? I mean, this time last year, Bobby, we very much, there were sort of targeted selection events because we had the World Championships. The Pan American Games being run at the three-star level later on in the year, where do we stand in terms of selection events? Are there any, or is it very much a case of people going, getting their Olympic qualification tickets kind of ticked off and making sure that you've got as many I's dotted and T's crossed?
Yeah, so it's going to be kind of a very hectic year that the more we get into it, because we're kind of having to do both the selection for the Pan Ams, which is still ongoing. I think that because it is so late this year, our last selection trial for the Pan Ams isn't until Rebecca Farm this summer. So there's still a long way to go with the selection for that. Yes, it's at the 3-star level, but the dressage and show jumping is actually 4-star specification. So we'll be, you know, looking at obviously nice young up and coming horses with some of the more established riders, and perhaps if there's a breakout star among the next generation, it would be really fun to be able to take someone from that group. But we'll just have to wait and see on that one. But we are taking the Pan Ams as seriously as ever. Yes, we're qualified for the Olympics, but it's very important that we go and win and dominate that competition. It's tied to our funding from the USOPC and all sorts of, you know, just morale and kind of building towards Paris. So we'll be fielding a super, super strong team for the Pan Ams. And then our selections for events for the Paris Olympics, that will begin with Kentucky and then obviously go on to all the big 4 and 5 stars all over the place. It's going to be a very, very busy year. I think we have Buffalo, Fairhill, Maryland, 5-star, the Pan Ams, the final outing before the Pan Ams, all happening like within 1 month this fall. So it's going to be crazy, but fun, I think.
Yeah, it's a really exciting time, actually. If we rewound the clock, just 4 years and kind of looked at the pressure on the US team going into the Pan Ams 4 years ago, very much it was all about you've got to get that team ticket, which I think probably we saw some more experienced horses going. Boyd Martin and Seth's Leg actually were the individual gold medalists from the Pan American Games back in 2019. But it felt very much like the team ticket was obviously the elephant in the room. This year, the pressure is there, but it's different because the team are expected to go and dominate. And it's really, really exciting that actually the plan is very much, you know, we want to go and we want to really sit on top of that podium. And maybe there'll be another whitewash of the podium or a near on whitewash. I think it was three of the top 4 places 4 years ago.
That's a good plan. I like that plan.
Good plan. There we go. No, I mean, like not plan. Asking much, Max, just a whitewash, easy as you like. What about the other kind of big events we've got? Aachen, will we likely see a US team come over for Aachen this summer?
Absolutely. We're really targeting Aachen this year. It's always a challenging competition because it falls not so far after the spring 4 and 5-star long. But I've been banging on with the athletes since last year that you know, really look at your year and your program and you know, if you at all possible, try to be, you know, thinking about targeting something towards Aachen, because I think, you know, I've always said that we're at a little bit of a disadvantage from the European nations because, you know, on the off years from the World Championships and the Olympics, you all have your European Championships. So, you know, there's never not a year where there's a major championship happening for the Europeans. And we have the Pan Ams, which is great, but then we have an off year, like the year after the Olympics, we have nothing. So, and for us to get in front of the European judges and just that atmosphere and against the best teams in the world, I really am looking forward to sending a top team to Aachen this year and, you know, try to build on our success from Pertoni last year.
Very, very exciting. Going kind of back to the Pan American Games, Max, what's sort of the plan in terms of a test event or a recce of any description? Because they're being held in Chile this year. So has anything taken place? Are there any plans in the pipeline for anything like that? Or is it somebody on the ground that'll be able to kind of feedback information to the team as to what might be in store?
Yeah, well, so there's not really a test event per se, but they do where the equestrian is going to be held. There is an existing competition that happens there every year, a couple times a year. So it's an existing facility, which is great. And we've had our team, USEF team leader, Gemma Stobbs, has been down there last October to have a look with the rest of the dressage and the jumping heads, and they've sort of had a wander around and checked everything out and sort of saw what the lighting is going to be like, the weather, blah, 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 all that kind of details. you know, secured hotels for the owners and have done all that. There's another competition happening this summer, which isn't necessarily a test event, but there might be some travel down there just to sort of have a looky and see what the what they've been doing. They were building more another stadium and some other facilities down there. So I think the idea was to just sort of go down and have a look, see what's been done, and just get some more information for us. It's such a not a normal place for us to be going. You know, Petone was there. Oh, there's an event there all the time. We sort of had a pretty good grasp on what was happening. And a lot of those other Olympics or world championships are in fairly established venues. And this is just because we don't normally travel to South America to compete because of the quarantine and all this other stuff. It's not something we normally do. So we just don't have a lot of knowledge about it. So any and all details we can get to help our horses and our riders and our grooms and our owners and all that is going to make it a lot better for us, for our team trip.
Yeah, absolutely. Start of the season is kind of here and things are moving now. We've got so much to look forward to. It's going to be a really, really busy season. Can I ask you both, is there something in particular that you are very much looking forward to in 2023, Bobby? How about you? What is it this year that you really are thinking, actually, that's going to be brilliant?
Honestly, just back to the Auchan thing, I think that, you know, this, we have so much going on this year, but I let's say, if you're asking me what in the first half of the season, I would say, you know, going and being very, very competitive at Auchan. And then, like we said, going to the Pan Ams and dominating the medals there. That's what I'm looking forward to.
That's what we like to hear. Fighting talk. Max, how about you?
I am really cheering for an American to win Kentucky this year. And then I think we've got, you know, a lot. It's nice to see the Americans. A lot of the Americans are getting out of their comfort zone. And we've got a few going to badminton. We've got a lot of people that are planning to go to Le Moulin. And a lot of people that are planning to go to Burley and to keep their top, even though it's not a championship year for their top horses, they're still looking to be competitive on the world stage with their top horses. So I think that's a very cool thing. And then obviously Auchan is just such a, everything at Auchan is great. The competition is very stiff with the eventing because everybody sends their top group, but then being able to watch those, the jumpers and watch that, the, those guys do their thing and the dressage do their thing. And there's, I don't know, there's lots to get excited about. And I think, yeah, got some cool things happening.
Lots in store. I have to say, I love all of those things. I think for me, US winner at Kentucky this year. It's got to happen. It's time. It's got to be the strongest home field that we will have seen for some time as well.
They are trying. I'll tell you that. People are looking forward to it.
And fighting talk, Max. Fighting talk.
Yes.
They're all very, very much. I think you can go to a good number of combinations and say could be them, because there's a number with a very, very, very good chance. Look, it is a really exciting year ahead. And of course, eyes will be turning to Paris in 18 months' time, which is the next Olympics. It feels such a quick turnaround because, of course, Tokyo being a year later than originally scheduled to be, it feels a three-year Olympic cycle goes in the blink of an eye. But look, lots to look forward to. And we're very, very excited to still be on the journey with you all. So thank you both for coming on the show and sharing with the listeners everything that's been going on and what we've got in store.
Thank you, Nicole. Take care of yourself.
Thanks for having us.
Listeners, I hope you've enjoyed a very special insight into the US team. On our team talk episode, we have lots more coming your way. And the next episode will, in fact, be a Kentucky preview show. And there'll be a special guest on the show as well. So do keep your ears peeled for that. For now, though, that is all we've got time for. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to the USEA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.